You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. Action packed hour for you this Wednesday. It's the Wednesday before the Sweet 16. And we've got Brad Powers, one of the pros. He's got all the college knowledge. Steve Fezzik, NBA expert. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. And also, NFL pass interference. I'm going to be interested to hear the roundtable's thoughts. But you can't have pros without Joe's. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start here on Straight Outta Vegas in the NFL, where yesterday owners passed a rule that would allow offensive and defensive pass interference, including non-calls, to be reviewed. Coaches can challenge those up to 2 minutes left in each half. In the final 2 minutes of each half, the booth has to review it. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of the big change in the NFL?
Well, listen, we can look at this as from two perspectives. One as fans, one as professional bettors. Now, I think a lot of talk shows, the fan perspective is being shared. So let's do it from a bettor's perspective. Fez, only two-time Super Contest champion. That's an NFL contest. Did it back-to-back just to show off. What are your thoughts as a batter?
I am estimating that the average scores in the NFL, RJ, are going to go up 0.5 to 1 point just from this rules change.
0.5 to 1 point. So from 0.5 points to 1 point.
Correct.
Okay, interesting.
And the reason is that most of the overturns are going to be...
Listen, I don't know, Jonas. Do we want to stop and do like a breaking news alert? And jump into all the iHeart. Do we have the ability to do that? Like imagine. It's like, okay, Rush Limbaugh's off the air for just 1 minute. We've got a report. We quantified the rules change. It could be 0.5 point per game more scoring. Now back to your regular programming.
It just depends who's got the best news voice on the show. I think Brad does. So I think
But we could do that if we wanted to.
Yes.
All right. What do you think? You think it's warranted?
half point to a point, probably not. I'm going to go
ahead
and say
probably not. Continue, Fed.
Let me make my case.
Defend that wild proposition.
All right. Most of the overturns, in my opinion, are going to be missed pass interference on the defense calls. There's going to be three situations. Contact just before the ball arrives. So often that contact does occur on the receiver right before the ball, but the refs don't call it because it's a split second decision. That would be like the Saints Rams would be an egregious example of that, where the contact was well before the ball arrived. Also, underthrown balls. I see this all the time, RJ, where the quarterback throws a duck out there and the safety runs into the receiver, but the ref, he just doesn't throw the flag because it's like, oh, it's such a horrible pass, even though by the letter of the law, it is pass interference. And the third case, Hail Marys. Frankly, you see muggings on Hail Marys. It's a scrum, and so often the defense just moves the offensive player out of the way, and the refs, they hate to throw a flag on the last play of the game. And so the omission of the flags in all those cases is going to go in favor of the offense.
Yeah, I think the pass interference is the one that really jumps out. And in a weird way, it contradicts Colin's theory about calling games differently late. So just this week, Colin was saying it makes sense in the NBA, in the NFL, the refs swallow the whistle that, hey, things get tough late. But is that supposed to apply to replay also? So there's some play that, I mean, because now that's the thing about getting objective. If you're getting pure mathematically based, purely did something happen or not, there is no subjectivity. There is no, well, it's late. It is a Hail Mary. So when you see that replay where someone's getting pushed, I don't think the replay official can apply these differentiated rules. They're going to say, oh, that's pass interference.
By the letter of the law. Yep.
So to me, the conflict here, and we can sit and complain about length of game. We can talk about computers taking over, getting scared, you know, 2001 style. But really, to me, I think the idea that whatever subjectivity there is, and I'm not a big fan of there being subjectivity. I think games should be called the same the whole game myself. I don't know if I'm in the minority. Where are you at with that, Brad?
I think they should be. It depends. What are the stakes? Regular season game? Or are you talking compared
to that,
like,
seems
playoff?
Even crazier. So you're going to call certain games differently at different point? Like, you need a matrix to decide how to call a game?
I mean, I'd rather have the refs kind of an important game swallow the whistle. I mean, we saw an NCAA.
They swallow the whistle the whole game.
True.
I mean, it's like, let's decide when we want the, what's a foul and what's not. I mean, imagine teaching. How, first of all, how do refs learn anything? Right? They go to ref school, yep. Right? And does someone sit up there and say, well, 4 + 4 = 8. Okay, that makes sense. And then, but they could say, all right, 4 + 4 = 8 unless it's on national TV, then it equals 8.5. Unless it's on national TV and a playoff game, then it equals 9. And oh, by the way, if it's the deciding game of a 7-game series, it equals 10. I mean, how crazy would that be? How would they explain to the refs? Like, we're letting these refs decide by not having objective standards, we're letting every ref decide for himself. Should we call it different late? And I think we've seen in the NBA, some of these refs got a God complex. So I kind of like that this would almost force us to move towards more objectivity, but that seems to run counter to what a lot of people like Colin want, which is swallow the whistle late. Jonas, as a fan, what do you want from the officials? Do you want the same consistent calling throughout the game?
Consistent and get it right. That's all I care about. Because and when people make the argument, well, in big games, we swallow the whistle. Well, big games are all across the board in the NFL, because at every single moment, somebody's job is on the line, somebody's career is on the line. And so to just say, well, now, but later in the year, those games mean more, and some guy gets screwed because there's a pass interference that's not called, it doesn't make any sense to me. Make it the same way all the way through, and no matter what it takes, just get it right so that we know what the final score is going to be and we know that we're on the up and up.
Now that's the Jonas I hear on the weekends.
This is so f***ing good.
All right. A little passion there, baby. And I agree. Get it right. Let's give objective measures. And I'll tell you this. Here's the part I hate the most about it. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, recapping the Vegas reaction to the pass interference addition to reviewable calls. Here's what I hate most. What's been the other conversation about pass interference? The idea that, oh, let's make it a 15-yard penalty, like in college, meaning the stakes on the call not being 40 or 50 yards, the stakes are 15 yards. Now what you're doing is taking a call that is the highest stakes call. And yeah, I get in theory you're getting it right more, but it's not always going to be obvious. I mean, we've seen a lot of replays that aren't obvious either. So now why not just take the pass interference and make it 15 yards and accept the fact that if you get it wrong, because now it's like a holding penalty, right? We don't review those yet.
Yep.
So, and I get the whole idea, and listen, we went a long time when there was intentional running into the kicker and incidental. Now, if someone comes waving like we used to in high school, trying to stop someone from the catch, yeah, say intentional pass interference, spot of the foul, fine. And if it's incidental, which a vast majority will be, it's 15 yards. Even with the replay, doesn't that sound like the better solution?
And I would also think that when people complain about how it's going to lengthen games and it's going to take too long and games are going to drag on, coaches only have two challenges. That has not changed. And to me, if anything, it's going to speed the game up early on, because they're going to pocket one of those challenges just in case there's a pass interference that they can cash in on later in the game. I just think it's better for the sport. I really do.
I think that's a good point, too. But see, that's what confuses me. So the rule is you get one, you get two. If you're right about both, you get a third. You're right about the first three, what happens?
From my understanding, it's only you get two.
You get three. Okay. You get three. If you're right about the first two, you get a bonus one. Okay. You are correct.
And if you're right about the third one,
You're out of luck. You don't get a fourth.
It's like I say, Brad, you're wrong. RJ's right. Brad, you're wrong. RJ's right. Brad, you're wrong. RJ's right. Hey, guys, I think Brad's wrong. Can't say anything about it. I mean, that seems insane. It's almost like the game. So we're acting like the fidelity of the calls matter that much, except if they get a fourth one in a row wrong, and then it's okay? I mean, you know, listen, here's what I know. Sometimes it's at the dentist. Sometimes it's at the dermatologist. There's a lot of things on the human body. If you look really close at them, like if you look at your teeth and they're like magnified times 80, it's like, oh my God, my teeth look horrible. Then I look at my teeth in pictures, like, hey, they look pretty good. You know, distance is not a bad thing. Let's think about how many games, how much history would have changed if we were sitting here trying to get every call right, no matter what the consequence. Meaning, I get the refs on the field trying to get every call right, but what's the next move? Do we potentially have, because I bet we have the technology now, where there's a red light that goes off if someone's past the line of scrimmage, like the defense lines up, you put a laser beam across the line of scrimmage, and now we're going to have that happen, right? I mean, imagine as technology increases, it almost feels like we're fighting. This could be like a big metaphysical hour show by itself. Is how much randomness are we willing to accept in our lives? As gamblers, we realize we can do everything right and still lose. And you can do everything wrong and still win. And it feels like the NFL is trying to take the randomness out of it. And I think in general, if you said, oh, they're trying to get the right answer, how problematic is that? I'd say, well, by itself, it's not problematic. But boy, oh boy, it feels like that we're talking about going from, you know, we've decreased the randomness a little bit, but there's still, like, how many holding call? I mean, do we put a camera on every, like, under this theory, I guess, let's do the slippery slope. Why not have a camera on every player? And there's a ref back in Jersey. I mean, how much does this cost? It's a billion-dollar league that is watching every player. He's doing is watching the left tackle of Team A. That's it. Right? So for every player on the field, 22 at a time, there's 22 officials with a camera zoomed in. Wouldn't we get all the right calls?
Yeah, we get a whole lot more penalties also.
And, you know, and you could say, well, then people should adjust to it, and that's the truth of the game. I don't know. In a weird way, I'm a technological person. In another weird way, I kind of accept it's the breaks of the game. But, you know, maybe it's part of me is as a Steeler fan, I remember that I was just a kid, but that Houston way back with, was it Renfro? I can't remember. But apparently there was a pass interference call that was missed. And the Steelers almost lost before they made a Super Bowl. And it's like, now, I get it. Just because I'm a Steeler fan, I should say, well, that means we should not have penalties called from the booth. It feels like we're on a fool's errand, might be the way to say it. Whereas we're trying to move towards perfection, and we're never going to get there. And we're in the cost of taking a tiny step towards perfection is too expensive. And I don't mean financially. I mean with all of the rigmarole that it's going to require.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we will take a look ahead at the Major League Baseball season, which gets going on Thursday.
And each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 78 degrees, and the neon is coursing.
So, RJ, the Major League Baseball season technically opened up last week. You had the Mariners and the A's play a two-game set in Tokyo, but the real opening day... Yeah, of course. And everybody paid attention to that during the tournament, absolutely. But the real opening day in Major League Baseball gets going on Thursday. So what does Vegas make of the 2019 season?
Well, I tell you, one of the best tips I could give if you're trying to be a little more savvy about how to use Vegas numbers, don't look at the title odds. Look at the season over under win totals. So title odds, that's usually a Chicago Cubs fan. He's here for the March Madness. $20 puts in his pocket. He's shown it when he's eating his deep dish with all his buddies. Nothing wrong with that. But it's a very recreational betting pool. Over under win totals out of all the games in the regular season, how many you're going to win, that's more professionals. That's where Fezzik's vulturing around trying to pick at people's bones. So let's look at those win totals, which is a sharper number, and we're going to project out for you the best teams and who's going to be the division winners. Brad Powers is going to help me here. So Yankees are tied with the Astros, expected to have the most wins at 96.5. So that means the Yankees?
American League East champs, RJ.
All right. Makes sense. Astros?
American League Central champs.
Now here's where the divisions come in. The third best team in baseball, according to win totals, according to Vegas, the Boston Red Sox. But what's going to happen to Boston?
Even the defending World Series champs, wild card, even though they had the third highest season win total in all of baseball, wild card for the Red Sox.
All right, next up, Dodgers, 93.5 wins.
NL West for the Dodgers.
Indians, 90.5 wins.
AL Central for the Indians.
Phillies, the Phillies, 89.5.
NL East champ, Phillies.
Imagine the Phillies, the NL East champ. Next up, I think Sports Illustrated is picking them to win it all. The Nationals, 89 wins.
Wild card for the Nats.
Okay. The Cubs, a lot of fans out there, deep dish fans, 88.5 wins.
NL Central for the Cubs.
So, oh, they got that. Now, this gets fascinating. St. Louis Cardinals.
Wild card.
All right. That makes sense. Now, check this out. Next up, I won't even give the win total. I'm just going to go in order. Milwaukee.
No what? Dice.
Milwaukee nothing. Doesn't make the playoffs.
No, nothing.
And remember, guys, we got one playoff left. The wild card in the American League. Braves.
No playoffs.
Mets.
Nope.
Rockies.
Nope.
Tampa Bay Rays.
Wild card.
So think about that. The Rays are projected to win 84.5 games, and they are projected to get the wild card in the one of them in the American League. The Red Sox are projected to win 94.5 games. So 10 more, and they're also projected to be a wild card team. Observations, Fez.
Well, what's interesting to me is the lack of parity in the American League. Basically, there's four teams, RJ, that have a really, really good chance already to make the playoffs. And the one question is who's going to get the wild card, right? The second wild card.
Well, I think, listen, as much as Vegas is good with the odds, there's a lot of questions. We have teams that overperform, underperform drastically. But I think the projections rightfully are that the Blue Bloods, Yankees and Red Sox and Dodgers, are all looking to make the playoffs and be amongst the five best teams. Now, we've got some history here. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas talking about the season win total odds in Major League Baseball as we approach the real opening day, Baltimore. I don't know about tanking in baseball, but objectively, Baltimore, historically bad.
Yeah, Baltimore's season win number, 58.5. Think about this, RJ. If you're a baseball team and you lose 100 games, that's a horrible season. Well, you're winning 62 games then. Baltimore's season win number, as low as I've ever seen, 58.5.
So in all the time you've been betting baseball, this year's Baltimore team is supposed to be the worst team ever.
Exactly.
Wow. I mean, hey, how do we do better than that, Jones?
You don't, and you don't bet on Baltimore if you're expecting to win a lot of money.
Well, but that's the catch-22, right? Usually betting on those horrible teams, no one wants to do it, so there's value. All I can tell you is this. If you gave me two choices, let's use the NFL, for example, and said, use ESPN's media rankings 1 to 32, and you have two choices, Jonas. One is bet on the number one team every week, bet against the number 32 team. That's option A. Or vice versa, bet against number one, bet on number 32. I would love option B so much more, because people always think teams that are good are better than they are, and teams that are bad are worse than they are.
I agree with you, RJ, but Baltimore last year was so bad, even worse than the market. If you bet $100 on Baltimore every game, you would have lost $5,000. The Orioles last year won 47 games, RJ, one of the three worst teams in the history of baseball since 1900.
Well, if anything, then that means that they're even less attractive now. There's even more value now. Now, listen, there's certain bets that it's almost like a badge of honor. Are you willing to bet Baltimore? It means you're a real wise guy. I'm not saying I'm necessarily betting Baltimore.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up at 8 Eastern time, tipping off a little over an hour from now on ESPN. It is the Pacers at the Thunder. Oklahoma City is a 6.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
And we have Steve Fezzik with us. You probably know about him, NBA expert.
In all the five boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f-ing world.
All right, show us your stuff.
All right, I lean to Oklahoma City here, RJ, and it's all about motivation. Amazingly, Oklahoma City has fallen in the current standings to the number 7 team in the West. That is a major problem because they might have to play Golden State in the first round. Golden State might be the 2 seed. So think about this.
So who's the one that's going to take over the West?
Denver and Golden State are tied right now. So think about your Oklahoma City. Oh my gosh, if we go to the playoffs as a 7 seed, we might have to play against the Warriors. If ever there's a team that should be motivated, it's Oklahoma City. They're only 1 game out of the 5 seed. They should bring maximum motivation.
How far are they from not making the playoffs?
Oh, they're a lock to make the playoffs.
Ah, that's interesting. Interesting. And just a lean, though.
Only a lean, because Oklahoma City has been struggling, RJ. 1-5 straight up and against the spread their last 6 games of Westbrook.
Usually teams getting a lot of points, you know, getting value or struggling.
Yeah, Westbrook is playing poorly.
A team not going to the playoffs is the LA Lakers. They are in Utah to take on the Jazz, and Utah is a 15.5-point favorite.
Now, this is a big TV game, right? Which station is this on?
It's on ESPN.
Oh my gosh, and it's the Lakers?
Yeah.
All right, so Fez, you leaned on the first game. You got to have a monster pick on this one.
I am passing this one completely.
What? What do you think of that, Brad?
Oh, wow.
All right, here's what we're going to do. CEO call. I know you do big bets on Major League Baseball win totals. Takes off the rubber band. I'm going to force you, and by fiat, I'm able to do that, to give us one of your best Major League Baseball win totals instead of your pass on the big NBA game.
Sounds good. I love the Cubs to go under 87.5 wins, RJ. The Cubs did nothing during the offseason to get any better. And look at their strength of schedule in division. So many upgrades. Milwaukee got better. They picked up Grandal. He's worth like 3 wins. St. Louis signed Goldschmidt. He's going to be the bedrock of the middle of their order. And the Reds picked up 4 key additions. The Reds were horrible last year. So whenever the Cubs played the Reds, they beat up on them. Now they've got tough games against the Reds. Strength of schedule so much harder. Cubs aren't any better. Cubs are going to go under 87.5.
Is that the number 87.5?
Yeah, it dropped from 88.5. Sharp money's been on the Cubs under, and I wanted to give out a number that everyone could get.
All right. Hey, Liz, you're a very generous fellow. Let me ask you this. Most your handicap wasn't about the Cubs. It was about the rest of the division. Very smart, I think. How would you compare the importance when it comes to total wins in baseball versus, let's say, the NFL? So in the NFL, 6 of your 16 games are against interdivisional competition. How's that ratio in baseball? How do you weight it?
Yeah, so you got to play 19 times against your opponent. So it's comparable. You know, you don't play half your games within division, but in the NFL, you play 6 division games. In baseball, might even be worth a little bit more playing all those 19 games against your 4 division opponents.
So it's not just how good is the team, it's how difficult is their path. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Fezzik's best bet under Cubs season win total. He was forced to give that baby. Brad, I'm in a dictatorial mood, right? I think that's okay to say. You've got a best bet tonight in the NIT. You were trying to hold it back. Give it up.
Yeah, I'm going to give out best bet Texas minus 5 against Colorado. And I think right now Colorado is overvalued in the marketplace. Why? Colorado's gotten a dream draw so far in the NIT. They got a Dayton team that was on short rest and traveling and playing at 11 o'clock their time for a tip time. And then Colorado got a Norfolk State team in the second round that was off the biggest upset in the history of the NIT. And Colorado, really good home team. In fact, KenPom has Colorado as the best home team in college basketball. But this is Colorado's first true road game since February 23rd. And how does Colorado do on the road? Because they're so good at home. On the road the last 3 years, Colorado, every single road game, only covering 28% of the time.
All right, so this is a good example of what we're talking about. Let's make sure we understand it. Because they are so good at home, you lose on the road. I don't
because
get it.
They're so good. They overperform expectations at home, RJ. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they get overvalued when they go on the road.
So they have an unnatural advantage at home. So imagine a situation where the hoop was, let's say that there was a home arena in basketball that somehow, some way, they were able to make their hoop bigger than the opponent's. Now imagine you would win a lot of those games. I know you switch at halftime and all that, but imagine if they switched the hoops somehow. Now, when they went on the road, you would say this team isn't as good as their numbers because they have that unnatural advantage at home. You're saying the altitude acts as that.
Absolutely. That's the unnatural advantage that Colorado has at home.
Okay, and thus that plus
the situation that they haven't played on the road in more than a month here, and they played a couple of cupcakes so far in the NIT, they're overvaluing the marketplace. Therefore, value Texas best bet, minus 5.
All right, best bet from Brad. I tell you, oftentimes we talk about how hard it is to win, but just to give you a little bit of hope that the public perception, the overreactions happen, NBA MVP, entering last night, Giannis was a clear favorite, minus 250, Harden right behind him. Now, Giannis, Milwaukee wins the game. They go all the way, Giannis does, up to minus 400. So minus 250 to minus 400 off of one win. Now, I get the idea that emotionally it feels like, oh, they swept him and all that. Boy, oh boy, that feels like a overreaction. If you think Harden might win this thing, plus 300 looks mighty juicy as the MVP.
The Odd Couple is next. If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.